Would you be willing to say to the Lord from your heart right now, would you say, Lord, please speak to my heart today through the message and draw me closer to you. Lord, please speak to my heart today through the message and draw me closer to you. Secondly, would you say, Lord, help the preacher to preach the message exactly as you'd have him to today, filled or controlled completely with your Spirit. And lastly, would you say to the Lord, Lord, we want everything to bring praise and honor and glory to you. And all of God's people said,
Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. You know, it's interesting to me that five different people can watch the same event in person or on the television or computer or phone and have five different responses to the same event. Some could watch a live tragedy and one may have tears. You know, they respond with tears. One might slam their fist down on the table in anger. One might shake their head at the evil or the tragedy that they just saw. Some might start a food or a fund drive for the victims. Some might just shut off the video or the images and simply walk away. You know, even things as simple as a Hallmark or Great American Family movie. You know, it's interesting to me that some people can watch that movie and they'll have tears in their eyes at the end, like, oh, isn't that so sweet? And then you got some people, it's like a little bit cynical, like, oh, that's just so predictable. Some, when they watch a movie, might fall asleep, and at the end just kind of wake up. That's pretty much, you know what's going to happen in the middle anyway, right? Some might leave that and respond with a warm feeling on the inside. And some might just simply roll their eyes and say, boy, that's just unrealistic. That's just not real life. Well, let me tell you, at the prediction of the birth of Jesus, at the announcement of the birth of Jesus, at the actual birth of Jesus, and even at the news a little bit later at the birth of Jesus, you know, various folks in the Bible had different responses to that birth or to the news of that birth. Now, we're going to look at today five great responses to the birth of Jesus. Five great responses to the birth of Jesus. Let me ask you a question. How do you respond at this time of year? How do you respond at this time of year as we celebrate the birth of Jesus? Do you realize that sometimes, if we're not careful, we can become hard-hearted and calloused toward this season that's called Christmas? You know, if anybody ought to enjoy Christmas, now I realize that there's things about Christmas that we would not promote and we don't agree with, and it goes way overboard. I get that. But you got to look back at the original meaning of Christmas. You got to look back at the true meaning of the season as Jesus. If we're not Christian, if we're not careful, we as Christians sometimes can even get a little bit cynical toward Christmas or a little bit overloaded at Christmas. Do y'all remember when you were kids? Now, I know some of you got to think way, way back. Do you remember when you were a kid? And when you saw that December 25th was coming up, and maybe you had a catalog, you know, those old things that used to have catalogs you looked at, and you may have circled what you're on your dream list, what you wanted for Christmas. Or maybe mom and dad gave you a list and say, Phil, do you remember the excitement that you had that Christmas was coming? Now, I understand and completely realize that maybe that excitement may have not always been for the right reasons. But you know, really, the story of the birth of Jesus ought to excite us. You know, I've heard, you know, I was doing a little bit of thinking. I've been a Christian. I was taken to church when I was still in the womb. And I got a few years on me, so I've heard a bunch of Christmas messages. I've heard a bunch of Sunday school lessons. I've sung a bunch of Christmas carols. But you know what? Every year, it ought to be fresh in a sense. It ought to be like, wow. Because this is such an amazing. It's been called the greatest story ever told. And that's the truth. It really, really is. So if you're having a little problem this Christmas with having that excitement about the birth of Jesus, the message is for you. I want you to listen close because I really believe that as we look at these Bible characters and how they responded, again, either to the prediction of the birth of Jesus or the announcement of the birth of Jesus or the actual birth of Jesus or actually encountered Jesus face to face shortly thereafter, if we look at their responses, we'll get a good idea of how you and I should respond every single Christmas. You know, if talking about the birth of Jesus, you know, I could probably almost recite Luke chapter 2, couldn't you? Because we've heard it so many times. And if we're not careful, we get in that routine mode and say, oh, ho-hum, here we are. Now, this is exciting. If Jesus had not come to this earth as a virgin, exactly as the prophecies foretold, you and I would be in a heap of trouble. Now, that's when we could be all ho-hum and be like Ebenezer Scrooge, all bah humbug, bah humbug. We could do that if Jesus didn't come. But since he came, we have every reason to be excited. We're going to look today at several different responses, five great responses to the birth of Jesus. Response number one to the birth of Jesus is joy. Joy. It's mentioned several times either related to Jesus' birth. Joy. You know, joy is the smile on the heart. You know, it's on the inside. And we that know the Lord as Savior, boy, that ought to be there not just on Christmas Eve or just when we think we're going to get the present we want. It ought to be there every single day of the year. But you know, in the Bible, it mentions joy a fair amount. In Luke chapter 1, John the Baptist, listen to this, talk about joy at the news of Jesus' birth. First of all, in Luke chapter 1, verses 39 to 41, it says, "And Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into a city of Judah and entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth." Pay attention to what happens next. "And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation or the greeting of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb." Now, maybe back up just a little bit. The angel Gabriel had told Mary that you're going to bear the Christ child. And she immediately, the angel said, also, your cousin Elizabeth is pregnant. She's old, too old really to bear a child and been barren. And immediately after Mary got that news, she went to go visit Zacharias and Elizabeth. And so she greets Elizabeth, and look what happens. It says, "The babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit." That babe in the womb. Now you say, well, where's joy in that? Well, drop down to verse 44. Verse 44 says, "For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation," or greeting, Elizabeth says, "sounded in mine ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy." Joy. You know, because Jesus came, we ought to have joy in our hearts and in our life. You say, but preacher, life is so tough. You know what I say to that? Yeah, you're right. Life is tough. But because Jesus came, we can have joy on the inside. It doesn't mean that we're doing cartwheels on the outside and everything is great and everything is going good. But because Jesus came, a good response to Jesus' birth is joy in the life of a Christian. No, but John the Baptist wasn't the only one. You know, Mary, the mother of the Christ child, in her song of praise in Luke chapter 1, verse 47, look at this verse, Luke chapter 1 and verse 47. Notice what she said in this song of praise, if you will. Luke 1:47, and my spirit, what? Hath rejoiced in God my Savior. You see, she was excited that the Messiah was coming. She had joy, and she says, my spirit hath rejoiced. But what about all the people? What about all the people in Luke chapter 2, verse 10? Remember the angels that came to the shepherds? And that first angel in Luke chapter 2 and verse 10, you know what the angel said related to joy? It says, and the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of what? Of great joy. And you know the good news about the joy that Jesus brings? It's not something selfish or something that's closed off. You know what it is? It's a joy that's open to everyone. Because it says, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to some people. No. That shall be to the rich people. No, that's not what it says. To the intelligent people. No. This joy is joy that's open to the whole world if they'll only receive Jesus. So we have John the Baptist leaping in the womb for joy. Mary in her song of praise rejoiced. All people from the angel can rejoice or have joy. But what about the wise men? The wise men. Now, we know that the wise men came later, possibly 2 years or so later. But in Matthew chapter 2, verses 9 and 10, notice the joy that they had about the birth of Jesus. Matthew chapter 2, verses 9 and 10, it says, when they had heard the king, that's King Herod, because they asked, where is Jesus to be born? This king says, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. But notice the next verse. When they saw the star, what? They rejoiced with exceeding great joy. You say, how did all that transpire? The night of Jesus' birth, there was a star. I'm okay with people trying to explain and say, this planet lined up with this planet or whatever. That's fine. You can try to explain it that way if you want to. But I simply know that God orchestrated it. And there was a star. And that star was over the night at the Jesus was born. That star was there. The wise men way off, many, many, many thousands of miles away, saw that star, headed toward that star, and then it reappeared. And what did they do? They rejoiced. I'm telling you, one of the best responses we can have. Now, I'm looking at some of you look like you've been beat with a mean stick. I mean, really, and I know, I'm not one that sits back with a smile on my face all the time either. People talk about singing with a smile. I can't hardly sing with a smile. I don't know what it is. I just can't do that. So I get it. But really, we ought to have that joy because Jesus came to this earth. I mean, that's good responses. We had John the Baptist, Mary. All the people can rejoice because Jesus came. The wise men rejoiced. I have a question about you. Just thinking about the birth of Jesus, does that bring joy to your heart? If not, it can, and it really should. The second response is praise and worship. Praise and worship. Again, Mary, in her song of praise in Luke chapter 1, at the news that she was going to bear the Christ child, notice what it says in Luke chapter 1 and verse 46. And Mary said, my soul doth magnify or praise or uplift or exalt the Lord. The multitude of the angels. When all the angels joined that single angel that had the message for the shepherds, notice what that multitude said in Luke chapter 2 verses 13 and 14. Notice, and suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host. What were they doing? Praising God and saying, what? Glory to God in the highest. Glory to God in the highest. and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. So Mary praises the Lord. The multitudes of angels praise the Lord. And our response ought to be, when Christmas comes, don't become all ho-hum and bah humbug and like, I'm overworked. I have what I'm supposed to do. I had all these responsibilities. I got all these gifts to buy. Guess what? I got to wrap all those gifts. I got to make sure the food's ready in the kitchen. I got to, you know, what ought to happen is when we think about the birth of Jesus, we ought to just say, praise the Lord. You know, Jesus did not have to come to this earth. I'm telling you, it's a good thing I wasn't Jesus, because given the choice of staying in heaven or coming to this earth, I would have stayed in heaven. It's a reason. The birth of Jesus is a reason to praise and worship the Lord. What about the shepherds in Luke chapter 2 and verse 20? I know we're jumping around. It's kind of the nature of the message, looking at the different responses. But the shepherds in Luke chapter 2 and verse 20, it says, and the shepherds returned. This is after they came and saw the baby Jesus and Mary and Joseph. The shepherds returned. Returned where? Back to their flocks, right? Glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. And remember that guy named Simeon? Remember, at basically 40 days of age, Jesus came to the temple as you were to present your male children to the Lord. And Mary and Joseph did that. Remember in Luke chapter 2, verses 25 to 28, notice his response to the birth of Jesus. Luke 2, 25 to 28. It says, and behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, or the Messiah is what that's speaking of. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, notice, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said. What's it mean to bless God? Do you know what Simeon did? He simply praised God that the Messiah had come. You and I, when we think of Christmas, it ought not be all the things we have to do. It ought not be all the struggles that we have. It ought to be, you know what, I'm just going to praise God that I can celebrate the birth of Jesus. And lastly, the wise men in Matthew 2, verses 1 and 2. Notice it says in Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. It says, now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to what? Worship him. And then look at verse 11. Verse 11 of chapter 2. It says, and when they were come into the house, they saw a young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and what? Worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. You see, one of the greatest responses we can have when we hear about Christmas, or Christmas is preached to us, or in our Sunday school lesson it's talked about, or when we go by somebody's house and they have a nice nativity out there, one thing we can be doing is praising and worshiping God. Mary worshiped and praised the Lord. The multitude of angels did that. The shepherds did that. Simeon did that. And the wise men did that. I have a question for you. Just thinking about the birth of Jesus, does that move your heart to praise and worship the Lord? Five great responses. The first one was what? Okay, that's everybody get on board here. The first one was what? The second one was what? Now the third one. The third great response is to ponder. Ponder. Do you know it's said of Mary right after the birth of Jesus in Luke chapter 2, verses 18 and 19? Ponder, by the way, is one of my favorite words, ponder. But one response that we should have to the birth of Jesus is simply to ponder about it. Think about it. It says in Luke chapter 2, verses 18 and 19, it says, "And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds." It said, "Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart." You know, even 12 years later at the temple when Jesus was 12, it seems like Mary kind of had a tendency to ponder over things. In Luke chapter 2, verse 51, notice this, it says, "And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them, but his mother kept all these sayings in her heart." You say, "Preacher, what exactly are you saying?" You know, the event of the birth of Jesus into this world, that God himself would put on flesh and come to this earth. You know, that ought to give us the opportunity just to sit back and think about it a little bit. You know, you've heard me say many times, I don't think we think enough anymore. I mean, why think? We got AI, we got Google, we got all this stuff at our fingertips. But don't you think it might be good this Christmas as we reflect on the birth of Jesus just to stop and ponder and think about the God of the universe sent his only son not to be born in a palace, but to be born in a stable and placed it in all places in a manger, a feeding trough for animals. You know, once we start pondering that a little bit, it ought to go, poof. That really just blows my brain that God would love me that much. So we're talking about great responses to the birth of Jesus. The first one was what? The second one was what? And the third one was?
Ponder.
Two more to go. The fourth great response, excitement and a sense of urgency for the Lord. Excitement and a sense of urgency. Remember the shepherds? I have to admit, I believe the shepherds are my favorite, other than Jesus, my favorite characters in the Bible story. It probably comes from putting on that bathrobe and those flip-flops and being in many Christmas programs. But how many have ever been a shepherd? Good night. Where y'all been? I saw maybe half a dozen. Probably my favorite characters in the Bible story other than Jesus. But the shepherds in Luke chapter 2, verse 15 and 16, notice, it says, "And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another." Now pay real close attention. What did they say to one another? "Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now, when I look at the shepherds, you know, of course, the angels showing up and telling them about the birth of Jesus, and then the sky lighting up with all of these angels talking about Jesus and giving him glory, that would rattle my world. Would that rattle your world just a little bit? But they said, "Let us now go." Not like, "Well, let's think about it a little bit." You know, the birth of Jesus in the life of the shepherds brought about an urgency, right? An excitement. And it says they came, they made haste. And I know some people have tried to explain this away, but I really believe they left their sheep all alone. I don't think they drew straws to see who was going to stay and who was going to go. I really believe that every single shepherd went. They left the sheep. They were excited. They had a sense of urgency. to go and see the baby Jesus. Also, as we go along and look at the shepherds in verses 17 and 18, notice what they did in their sense of urgency. Verses 17 and 18 says, "And when they had seen it," that's the shepherds, "had seen Jesus, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning the child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds." Do you know, when we think of Jesus and the birth of Jesus and what it means to this world, yeah, that ought to get us a little bit excited. I mean, really, it all like, wow. Because Jesus came to this earth, lived a perfect life, and died upon the cross, and resurrected back to life, you and I can have eternal life. I don't know of anything more exciting than eternal life in heaven. I don't know of any better. I mean, I can be a weatherman up here and say, "Hey, I'm going to predict you a beautiful day." And you go, "Ah, yeah, it's great." But how much greater is Jesus was born so that I could have eternal life? That ought to almost make us get excited, right? Praise the Lord. Jesus came. It ought to make us excited and give us a sense of urgency. You see, when the shepherds went out, they were telling people. And I don't believe it was necessarily people that solicited from them. Like, "Okay, shepherds, what are going on? What's going on?" Because the shepherds were the low life in society. You've heard it said many times, and I've said it many times. It's clear in the birth of Jesus' story and thereafter that Jesus came for all men. You know, we talked about how the shepherds, which shall be to all men, great joy to all men. But we have the lowly shepherds, the outcast, the down and out, probably the lowest in society. And then later, you have the wise men come, the rich, the up and inners. You see, Jesus came for everybody, and that ought to excite me. That ought to enthuse my heart. That ought to put a spring in my step, and it ought not be all ho-hum, bah-humbug. It's Christmas again. I can't wait till this days are over. I just want to go back to normal. It ought to be, praise the Lord, I'm excited that Jesus came for me, and there ought to be a sense of urgency. You say, what? What sense of urgency? There's people all around us who have never trusted Jesus as their Savior. And just like you and I, if you know Jesus as your Savior, will experience eternal life, they will experience eternal death if they do not put their faith and trust in Jesus. And I don't know if you've noticed it or not, but we're all getting older. I mean, you could try to cover it up. You could try to, you know, cover up the gray and help the wrinkles with oil of Olay and all that stuff. But you're getting older, and I'm getting older, and the people around us are getting older, and they need to hear the message of the gospel. So the birth of Jesus, it ought to be, yeah! I mean, we get excited. We watch a stupid old football game, and we get excited about a touchdown, or a turnover, or even a good run. My goodness, the God of the universe sent his son to this earth because he loved every one of us so much. That ought to excite us. That ought to be true excitement. So much that we tell people about Jesus. You see, there's five great responses. We're going to cover one more. Five great responses to the birth of Jesus. I have a question under excitement and sense of urgency. Just thinking about the birth of Jesus, does that give you an excitement in your heart at least? And if there's excitement in the heart, it ought to come out every once in a while. Does it give you a sense of urgency to tell others about Jesus? Five great responses. Response number one was joy. Okay, everybody, wait. If your neighbor's asleep, gently nudge them and say, "Psst, The preacher's asking us to participate in the message. Okay, would you tell them that? Five great responses. The first one is joy. The second one is praise and worship. The third one is ponder. The fourth one is excitement and a sense of urgency. And the last one is thanks. A great response. Thanks. Notice, again, back to the presentation of Jesus at the temple, about 40 days of age. Notice in Luke chapter 2, we're introduced to a lady named Anna, an elderly lady. And notice what she does. It says in Luke 2:36, and there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age. It says right there. So some of you are of great age. Joking. And had lived with an husband 7 years from her virginity. Notice that she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fasting and prayers night and day. Faithful servant of God at the temple. Coming in that instant, what did she do? She saw the baby Jesus, the Messiah. And it says, and she coming in that instant gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. We again see the testimony of here Anna, but she gave thanks. You know, we just passed Thanksgiving, the forgotten holiday. But you know, anytime we think of the birth of Jesus, we ought to thank God that he sent his son Jesus. We ought to thank the Lord Jesus Christ for coming to this old earth. As I said before, I'll say again, he didn't come to be born into a palace and live a life of leisure and luxury with all the things that he wanted. Excuse me. Instead, he chose to come to this earth for you and I. Now, how did people treat Jesus? Great respect, right? No. Listen to his teachings, right? No. Throughout all of his life, people opposed Jesus. But he chose to come to this earth anyway. You know, when you and I think about Christmas, we ought to have thankful and grateful hearts. Thank you, Jesus, that you came for me. You know, I'm thankful we don't offer Old Testament sacrifices up here on this table, aren't you? Because the once-for-all sacrifice of Jesus took care of the sins of the whole world. But in order to put that to our account, we have to put our faith and trust in Jesus. That's the Bible way. That's the only way to be saved. The Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Are you thankful for Jesus? When you think of Christmas, are you thankful for what he did for you? You know, five great responses. I hope that you and I are not the kind of people that dread Christmas coming. I hope that you and I aren't all bah humbug. I hope that we're not just, you know, I just can't wait till this day is over. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ is your Savior, your response ought to be something special. Because the birth of Jesus, the Bible says, but thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Unspeakable, beyond words, beyond description. You and I ought to respond by five different ways. Can you say them with me again? We ought to respond, first of all, with. Secondly, with. Thirdly, with. Fourthly. And lastly, we ought to respond to the birth of Jesus that way. You know, you and I have the opportunity, really, an opportunity in this old world to be excited Christians about the birth of Jesus. You know, there's something in the world that a lot of people, even if they're lost, they have a little soft spot in their heart for Christmas. And they have a little bit more joy in their heart and life. Guess what? What an opportunity to tell them about Jesus. But we're not going to be a very good witness if we go up to people and have an old frown on our face and our head down and all blah. I'm thankful because Jesus come for me. I can have joy. I can praise him and worship him. I can sit back and ponder about what a great event Jesus coming to this earth really was. I can have excitement and a sense of urgency, and I can have a heart that's thankful and grateful before God. Let me ask you, how right now, not last year, not 5 years ago, but right now in your heart. We're right here at Christmas time. Boy, we're as close as you can get on Sundays, right? Thursday. No, we don't know Jesus was really born on December 25th, but hey, we pick a day and say, let's celebrate it. But as close as we are to Christmas, you know, it's kind of cool to sit back and just kind of think about a message theoretically. But let me ask you right now, do you have joy? Right now, do you have a sense of praise and worship to God? Right now, have you thought and paused about how great a gift Jesus really was? Right now, do you have an excitement in your heart about the birth of Jesus? Kind of like that excitement you used to have as a kid looking forward to Christmas. And do you have a grateful heart? You know, I can't stand up here and say, well, yeah, that one over there, I think they got it. And I think that one over there doesn't have it. Not a good response back there in the back. You know, but God can tell you. God can let you know. If you're not spiritually ready for Christmas the way you should be, I imagine God is going, hey, he's talking to you through the Bible. Would you bow your head and close your eyes for just a moment? We're going to sing here in just a moment. And I want you to feel free to know the altar is open, to know that you can come forward to this altar as a Christian and say, you know what, God, I want to be more excited about the birth of Jesus. I have been kind of ho-hum this year. Things have been kind of tough. But Lord, give me that excitement. Help me to respond the way I should to the birth of Jesus. If that's you today, again, you're welcome to come to the altar in a moment as we sing. You don't have to talk to me, but you can just talk to God. And I don't want you to feel out of place. Or, well, if I do that, everybody will think I'm an old Ebenezer Scrooge. No, I really think all of us need a little boost, a little shot in the arm sometime to remember, to remind us how great Christmas really is. So if God is speaking to your heart as we sing here in a moment, would you come forward? But you know, there could be some people here today who have never trusted Jesus as their Savior. Never trusted Jesus as their Savior. Boy, you really don't know what you're missing. The greatest gift to this world was Jesus. And as I made very clear through the message, Jesus came for everybody. The Bible even says in Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You know what? If you're here today and you've never trusted Jesus as your Savior, I want to give you an opportunity to have the best Christmas you've ever had by trusting Jesus as your Savior. You say, preacher, how do I do that? Well, first of all, you got to recognize you're a sinner before God. You've done things against God. Then ask God in prayer to forgive you of your sin. You need to go to God in prayer and say, God, I really believe that Jesus was born in Bethlehem, lived a perfect life, died upon the cross, and came back to life, conquered death. I really believe that happened. I accept Jesus as my Savior. I proclaim, I confess him as my Savior, as my leader. And if you mean that from your heart, you can be truly saved today. You know, I'd hate to be here today and say, you know, I think so, maybe so, kind of, maybe. I know not because I'm good, but because I believe the Bible. I know that I put my faith and trust in Jesus. I know that I'm on my way to heaven, and you can know that too. So as we sing here at Invitational Song in just a moment, I'll be somewhere down front. And if you want to be saved, if you want to trust the Lord as your Savior, would you come forward and say, "Preacher, I want to be saved"? I'd love to talk to you, answer any questions you have, and you can leave this building today knowing that you're on your way to heaven, that you're a saved child of God. I'd highly encourage you to do that. But you know what? There's a third category of people today who truly are born again, but you're just not serving the Lord the way you should. You're what we'd call backslidden or out of fellowship with the Lord. Now, you're still saved, but you're just not doing your best for the Lord. And God is speaking to your heart today. Can I encourage you to come to the altar and just simply say, "God, forgive me. God, I need to get busy for you. I need to be doing what you want me to do. I rededicate my heart and life to you today." Would you do that? Dear God, we commit the invitation to you now. Speak to hearts. Help us to respond to what you tell us to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.